And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Life took a step in the right direction this year, and I've been counting it out all year. And like, it ain't no moral victories, I understand that, but damn proud of this group, this coaching staff, the work that we all put in. Nobody really knew, like, nobody knows outside of this building what we do every single day, you know what I mean? So we took a step in the right direction, if that answers your question, as far as getting over a hump.
That was DeAndre Swift talking about the Bears and hopeful for what the future looks like for the Chicago team. Of course, Bears lose to the Rams 20-17. And let me be clear, the Bears lost this game. The Rams didn't win. And I hate when people say things like that. But they didn't get blown out, right? They didn't get bullied. They didn't get out-talented. They lost 20-17 because they weren't clean enough. A few too many penalties that led to, you know, a field goal at the end of the first half. Three interceptions by Caleb Williams, let's not forget. But when you hold the Rams to 20 points and you still lose your season, this an overtime pick, it's not bad football. It's just losing football, unfortunately. And so, as we talk about this Bears game, we know we're hopeful for the future. That is without a doubt. But what's attached to that? Is it mad? Is it sad? Is it anger? Is it frustrated? Like, what's attached to the hopeful when we think about this game? Because we still got to talk about the game. We can talk about the season. I'm here to talk about the season. I'm here to talk about the future. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, there should be some frustration because this is a game that got away from the Bears. The Bears had the ball first and 10 on the 50-yard line with an opportunity to kick a field goal to win the game or to try to get into field goal position, and they fell short of that. For that, I am pissed right now at 2 in the morning. All right, Gabe Ramirez, 670 Score. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Angelo out in Vernon Hills. Angelo, you still feel like we all do, right? We're all hopeful. That's what I said. I know that. But what about this game? How did you feel about this game?
Gabe, how are you?
I'm chilling, brother. Thank you.
All right. The Bears did not get outplayed by a better or significantly better team this year.
Nope.
This game. I got several points. I'm going to run through them real quick. I'm going to make you feel real bad and then real good.
Okay. Thanks for warning me, at least.
All right. So tonight, 4 bad drops.
I think it was 3, but yes.
No, I counted 4. Okay, all right. Fine. I counted 4. You count 3. 3.5, we're good.
Angelo, you did tell me you were going to make me feel bad, so I'm going to go with 4.
Cool. 3 interceptions. I put 2 of them on the receivers, 1 on Caleb. Fine. Especially the last one where DJ just dropped her out. I don't know what he was doing. I'd love to get a little bit more info on that, but okay, they left a lot of points on the board. The defense was fabulous.
Agreed.
Moving forward, I cannot wait for, and I know there was the whole Nagy Trubisky 2.0. I'm waiting for 2.3. Ben Johnson, year 2. Caleb Williams, year 3.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. 2.3, I like that a lot.
Forget 2.0.
Right. Or 3.0. Right. We're going to go with 2.3.
Or whatever. You can call it 1, 2, 3.
No.
I don't care.
I like 2.3 for your reasons. I like this.
I like the perfect combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb working together. They've already installed all of this. They've put it all together. Next year is going to be a year, and I know that. Nothing is promised. Everybody can get hurt next year. But, you know, perfect world. Moving forward, let's get the little short pass. Like, give me the special and give me the
simple
Ben Johnson designs. Yeah, that work. And he can, you know, all of it working together. You got free agency, and you've got the draft. Right now, I'm already like, I'm moving forward. And then I got 2 words for you. Max and Crosby.
Does DJ Moore come with that as well, or is that a Roma Dunze?
Say it again?
I said, does DJ Moore come with that, or Roma Dunze?
I'm not trying to, like, you're going to have to move some pieces. You're going to have to make some space, and you're going to have to move you're going to have to move a player. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, Max Crosby would be good on the team. Max Crosby would be good on the team. And again, but the Bears did not lose this game because of their defense. I want to be very clear. Like, we can – both things can be true. They need to add a pass rusher, right? They need to work on the defense. That is true. But to say it as if but then we're not talking about this game, right? Like – okay, we're talking about the defense for the future, but if we're talking about this game, that's not why that we don't need Max Crosby for this game that just happened. There's other things that were at stake that cost the Bears. Like the defense isn't the top three things that cost the Bears in this game, right? You're talking about the play of Caleb Williams and the interceptions, right? We're being clear here. Ben Johnson play calling in critical third and short and fourth and short situations. If you go read and do it here, because everybody that's awake right now, we are all sick individuals, right? Because we can't get enough Bears, and that's why we're up, and that's why I love you guys. So while you're listening to me on your couch having a brew or something like that, packing a bowl, go look up any of the beat writers for the Los Angeles Rams. Go look up beat writers for Los Angeles Rams heading into this game against the Bears. The majority of them said the weakest part of the Rams game was short yardage situations. That they've had a tendency all year long to give up third and short, fourth and short, and that's allowed teams to extend drives, which has then put them in precarious situations throughout the season. So that's where the Bears were supposed to excel in this game. And that was probably the worst they looked in short yardage situations and the inability to extend drives and put points on the board. Defensively, they played well. Pressure. How close were they to turnovers? Several times. I could probably four times. They were that close. Tremaine Edmonds runs a little bit harder to the ball. When it gets tipped up in the air, he might have an interception. Fumbles. That Matthew Stafford strip sack by Montez Sweat that gets recovered, luckily, by the Rams. There were so many situations where the defense, you know, was there. Stepped up to the occasion. Coastin Loveland going down hurts. I mean, that was a bit. That's a Loveland. He was injured. He took the blow to the back of the head when he was making that 18-yard catch. Still led the team with 56 yards. I mean, think about that. You didn't see Coastin Loveland for a damn near a half. And he still led the team in receiving. Don't talk to me about. I mean, talk to me about defense when we're talking about the team as a whole. Yes. But when we're talking about this game, there are other things we should be highlighting as to why the Bears didn't advance when they should have. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Phone lines are open. Grant Leader producing. We're going all the way till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes comes on for the pregame show leading you right into Mully and Hall. They got Olin Krutz, Brad Biggs, and Mike Florio at 7, 8, and 9. Raheem Harrison, Grody, they got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner at 3. David Hall actually was texting me earlier. Let me pull up his text message. David Hall texted me at 12:34 a.m. I was doing a show, so I didn't really get a chance to look at it. He says he was pointing out the fact that he wrote a good article. I read it during the commercial break. He just put it out on Twitter, says, this one stung. This is the quote from the article. This one stung with the magic running out shortly after Caleb Williams' latest Houdini act, raising everyone's hopes in Chicago, only to have them dashed in overtime. This one left Johnson, whose intensity drove the Bears, tapping into his sensitivity. If you want to read the rest of that, you can check it out on odyssey.com. Just search David Haw. Now we get an opportunity to check that one out. But we all have thoughts. I have thoughts. You have thoughts. I'm curious what you guys have to say. Let's go out to the phones again. Let's go to John out in Schaumburg. John, I touched on this earlier. where I was pointing out that in the beginning of the season, Ben Johnson was trying to tell Caleb Williams, be a point guard. Don't be a shooting guard. Matter of fact, Grant, if you could find that clip, that'd be a great clip to find if that's in the system somewhere.
What was it again?
Ben Johnson tells Caleb Williams in a press conference, I want you to be more of a point guard, less of a shooting guard.
Okay.
Might be tough to find, but we'll see. I would love to hear that. And, John, I felt like in those moments, he changed, right? We saw a lot of more checkdowns, a lot more Colston Loveland getting involved. And then I feel like in this game, maybe the moment, maybe the NFC divisional round, maybe after beating the Packers, Caleb Williams felt like he needed to put the team on his back again.
Yeah, and first of all, I appreciate you taking my call, but I do agree with you. I mean, I think that, I think throughout the playoffs, really, the last two games, Caleb looked a little maybe overstrung. But I know there was a point earlier you asked the question, was the moment too big for Caleb Williams? That, I do not think it was.
Okay.
I think he was, it's his first time in the playoffs, same with Ben Johnson, this whole team, the first time in the playoffs. And, I think he was maybe overexcited and he put a little too much on some of the throws that he had. But like that last play to it was DJ Moore. I just think it was miscommunication. And honestly, the two words that I feel tonight are disappointed, obviously. I mean, I think every Bears fan is disappointed, but also encouraged, because if the Bears can play that bad and still be in that game in overtime, like you said, they beat themselves. I don't think that the Rams beat us.
Agreed.
And I do think that this team has staying power. I think that Ben Johnson, we finally have a coach, some we haven't had in a long time, at least since Lovey, if not Ditka. And, I mean, Caleb Williams, if he's not already the greatest quarterback in Bears history, I mean, you'd really have to go through the stats and point something out to me, because I think he's the real deal.
Let me read a text to you, John, that just came in. This is from the 630. It says, after watching tonight's game for a second time, I can say with confidence that Caleb Williams will never win a Super Bowl. I say this because, let me finish the rest of it. I say this because he is simply not consistent enough, and I don't believe he can be rewired by Ben Johnson or any other coach to be something that he is not and never will be. This from the 630, literally 10 minutes ago, John.
I got love for the 630. I'm from, I was born and raised in the 630, Downers Grove. But I couldn't disagree more. I think Caleb Williams, just his attitude, like, I'll be honest, at the start of the season, I was not sure about his demeanor, his attitude, but I think he really matured throughout the season. And I think he's becoming a leader. I don't think he's fully there yet, but I think he's becoming a leader. And I think even somewhere during the game, one of the sideline reporters reported that his teammates feel like Caleb Williams wants those big moments on his shoulders. And yes, he failed ultimately this time, and it didn't work this time. But, you know, if we're going to be one of those teams that is perennially in the playoffs, we're going to have to understand that sometimes it comes with a playoff loss. But over, say, the next decade, if Caleb is what we think he is, some of the Bears think, like I think he is, obviously not the texter, if he is that good, then we're going to go to the playoffs a bunch, and we're probably going to lose more often than not. But if we can raise that trophy a couple times, that's all that matters.
You just got me hyped up right there at the end of that little soliloquy, John. I felt like I was ready for that one, because you're right. Play, like, I just, you know, whose face keeps popping into my head? It is both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, right? Where they are good enough to get you there, but they've yet to hoist that trophy. And they, without Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, both failed to capitalize on this opportunity. And I only hope that Caleb Williams, you know, because if you are going to be, and we saw it this year, right, John? The top seven teams that make it into the playoffs, they are good. You can be a good 100% team and beat the bad teams in the league. You can do that. But then once you get to the playoffs, every team is good, and you have to play a clean game in order to win, especially in the playoffs. Something the Bears didn't do, unfortunately. And I like yours, though. You know, all day, John, people have been saying they're mad and hopeful, sad and hopeful, pissed and hopeful. You are disappointed but encouraged.
Yes, and you know, I think honestly this season overall reminds me very much of the 2009 Blackhawks or the 2015 Cubs. You know, they beat, just like the Cubs beat the Cardinals in the playoffs and then they got swept by the Mets. This feels so much like that, where like we had to overcome the Packers, we had to finally beat them in the playoffs. Yeah, we lost this year, but we're going to be back. And that, I feel more strongly about that than I ever have in my life.
But I try to, you know what, John, a lot of people have been saying that that 2015 Cubs situation, right? You've been hearing that a lot. I the reason why I'm hesitant to put that on them is because the Cubs made a bold move to make their team significantly better in 2016. And when I think about the Bears, like, what can they do to make their team, like, who is their Aroldis Chapman? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to come in and make this team significantly better? Because the offense is the offense. Let's be very clear. You got Colson Loveland. You got your Rome. You got your D. Like your offense isn't going to be significantly better with an addition. Your defense could get better, right? More consistent. But your offense is what it is. And so with the Aroldis Chapman of the Chicago Bears, if we're likening it to the Chicago Cubs, needs to be, and I want to be very clear about this, the Aroldis Chapman needs to be the second year of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Like, that is it. If you're telling me reps and time in an offense is what allows someone to operate it at a higher level, then year two of Benny J and Caleb Williams is going to be that, because that is what's going to ultimately make the offense better.
I totally agree. I actually thought you were going to go Max Crosby there.
Nah.
And that's the other option. I think that we need to make our D-line better, obviously. But I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that encouraged me tonight was the way that Dennis Allen called that game. And, like, all the drops that we had those been completions? I know there was three or four, but those are three or four big moments in the game. And I was so encouraged by that. And honestly, I felt like I hadn't seen a game called like that by Dennis Allen all season. And it was just so encouraging to see that he can do that. Just imagine if his team just, you know, gets a little bit better on defense and just gels a little bit better next year. And obviously the turnovers probably are not going to be the way they were this year, because turnovers generally don't carry over the way that, you know, other stats do. But, you know, I was encouraged by that defense. And I think that, you know, there's pieces. We have everything we need on offense. They just need to grow. And if the defense gets one or two pieces and grows together, man, we could be really something special.
They can. John, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here live and local on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls. Bears lose to the Rams, and the season has come to an end. 20-17. It was tied up at 10 in the first half. Bears up 10-7, giving up a field goal with 1:10 left to go in the second quarter. Third quarter begins. Both teams struggle out the gates. Nobody gets points on the board. Then eventually, you can't hold the number one scoring team in the NFL for an entire game. And of course, Matthew Stafford and squad put up a touchdown in the fourth. Bears come right back. Get a touchdown to tie it up on a miraculous Caleb Williams throw on fourth down. You got to see it online if you haven't already. Bears leave about 13 seconds on the clock. Matthew Stafford kneels it. Then we get to overtime. In overtime, Bears win the coin toss and elect to kick the ball to Matthew Stafford. And as mentioned, the most potent offense in the NFL. But as John pointed out, Dennis Allen and that defense did their job. Got the ball back. Caleb Williams with a muff punt, an opportunity to just go ahead and get the game under control and head on out to Seattle. And unfortunately, on second and eight from the Los Angeles Rams 48-yard line. Caleb Williams, with what he called a miscommunication to DJ Moore, ends up throwing the interception, which ultimately leads to the game-winning drive by the Rams, who put up a field goal to get the victory in. You know, something to build off of. But let's go back out to the phone lines here, what you guys got to say. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Antoine out in Rockford. Antoine, what were your thoughts on this one, man?
Hey, Gabe, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Always, no problem.
Bears fan. Hey, so I was as happy as any Bears fan to beat the Packers, especially beat them twice, especially eliminate them from the playoffs. But this is what I want to say, and I want you to hear this. I want everybody listening to understand this right here. I know it from watching over the years. Until the Bears can dominate the Packers, they're not ready for a deep playoff run. They're not really ready for the Super Bowl. And let me take you back to 2006. Game one, Lambeau, 26-0. Bears dominated that game. Of course, they went to the Super Bowl and they lost, but you've got to remember the last week of the season. They lose in Soldier Field. I guess Rex was saying something about it. New Year's Eve was getting to him, whatever the case may be. But if you just think about over the years and the times the Bears have really been successful, the Packers have a mind thing over the Bears. I was talking to Gilbert Brown one day, and he told me. I was like, yeah, you know, it's our time now. Jordan Love is in. Rodgers is out. He said, it don't matter who's playing quarterback for the Bears. It don't matter who's playing quarterback for the Packers. He said, we in here. And he pointed to his head. And I walked away dejected. And I think I believed him. And so when I watched what happened this year, I'm so happy that the Bears beat the Packers, but we came back barely winning the games that we won. And until we can dominate the Packers where we're winning the game and we're not looking at luck or antics that make it feel like, you know, did we really just win this game? The Bears are not ready yet. But I'm a big Bears fan. Again, I'm happy. I think it was a great season. I think we have the right coach. We have the right quarterback. We will make some defense acquisitions in the offseason. But please remember that I said that. I've told them a number of people, and that's just the truth about the Bears. The Packers is the obstacle, the number one. That's why Lovie said it when he came in. That's why Ben said it when he came in. It's just the truth. But again, great season, Bears, and bear down.
I love it, man. Antoine, thanks for the call. I appreciated it. And you make a great point, right? I mean, I think dominating the Packers means you are ultimately dominating the NFC North, which then leads to playoffs, which is what you want, right? More opportunities to be able to lift the trophy. And if you can dominate your division, you saw the Packers do it for many years. You've seen, look at the Chiefs, how many years they'd won it. The Patriots. You dominate your division and give yourself a shot to be one of the seven teams in the playoffs. And you hope that, you know, you can build something up that can get you there. And luck can bounce your way. This wasn't a complete team, right? I think we all can agree with that. No one looked at this Bears team and said, yeah, Super Bowl or bust. I think what you saw, and Olin Kreutz talked about this in the beginning of the season when the Bears were stacking victories. He said, okay, the way the Bears are winning, this is repeatable. You can duplicate this game plan and it can equate to victories. And it did. And so then when you saw it work and Ben Johnson saw what his team could do well, then it was a matter of, can we execute this at a high level, even though it might be basic or it might not be as expanded of a playbook as we'd like? If we can execute this run, pass at a high level, then we can compete. And if you look, to be very clear, I watch a sickening amount of football. Shout out to the NFL app. If you don't have it and you got $100, you should definitely buy it. You can watch every single game, the condensed version. So, you know, it makes you better at fantasy football, at gambling, at doing sports analysis. So, you know, I get the opportunity to watch a ton of games. And, you know, you see the breakdowns. You see what it is. And again, just a great point by Antoine. You got to dominate your division. You got to get in there so that way you can get some victories. Let me go ahead and take one more. Antonio from Waukegan. Antonio, we all want to get to the Super Bowl. We all want to lift up the trophy. How close do you think the Bears are to doing that?
I think we're a couple seasons away. Maybe one or two more.
All right.
As a coach,
I was looking at this game, and I was excited. I was excited. I know there's some mechanics with Caleb that he needs to work on, like his checkdowns. He wasn't looking at number four, who was scrolling to the left and could have hit him for the short yardage and the first down, the easy first down a couple of times. I'm pretty sure you saw that, right?
DeAndre Swift, yeah.
Yeah, Swift was open a couple of times. And I want to say something about the Bears' backs. They're not bruisers. You know, we don't have that bruising back that we had in the past.
I mean, Kamanunga is quite the bruiser, don't you say? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Mununga, yeah, it's somewhat, but he's small. You know, he's not.
You're right.
He's a smaller version. I mean, if you look at, nobody talks about the Rams defense. They forget that the Rams have a very good defense, and they've annihilated a lot of teams. You know, their biggest hurdle was like the Seahawks. The whole season.
Right. You're right. Right.
To me, if you look at as a coach, when you look at what Ben Johnson has done with the team to get them this far, and to compete in the playoffs in his first year, and to have the offense looking like this, I think you got to be excited. I'm not hopeful. I'm excited.
Definitely,
this is the first time we've ever had an offense, really an offense that can light it up on the board. This is the first time we look good on offense. And even though I think people forget that going into this game, our offense was not present for, what, three quarters against the Packers in two back-to-back games. I think they lost the game before they played Green Bay, didn't they?
Yeah.
To Detroit. Same scenario.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was saying it was a game they needed, too. A game they needed in Detroit to put up points. And they didn't. It's interesting. It's interesting for me to be on the radio right now, right? Because half of me wants to talk about this game as if it were a regular game, right? If you're listening at this hour, especially, I've done a lot of these. Grant, we've done a lot of these.
We've done a lot,
and they've been regular games. And so half of me wants to talk about this game and really be critical of the errors and the mistakes that were made. And the other half of me wants to assess the season and do a flashback show and really talk about, but I'm torn because, you know, I want to talk about how, you know, the offense is going to get better and et cetera. But I also want to talk about how it failed me today. How this Bears offense, this amazing, never quit. I mean, it's just like, it's so good. And then it's like, but it can't happen forever. And I say it all the time, right? You can't win the Super Bowl every year. And your season's going to end in heartbreak one way or another majority of the time. But I guess in this one, again, I what smarts me the most is that the Bears weren't outclassed. In a season like this one, where you've heard the word house money so often, or maybe, you know, worst team in the playoffs, all that BS that I've been hearing, then show me the team that's going to outclass me then. Show me the team that's going to be significantly better than the Bears. Show me that one. Let the Bears lose to that team. Let that be the way it ends. So that I can watch the game and be like, damn. The Bears weren't ready yet. That wasn't the case. And that's what makes me mad. And that's what makes me want to talk about it. 312-644-6767. I want to hear what you got to say about it. What your thoughts were on this one after the season. Do you want to talk about the game or do you want to talk about the future of the Bears? Because I'm here to talk about both of them. It's Gabe Ramirez. Your call's next. 312-644-6767. Next on 670 The Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
This is going to be the last time this group is going to be together. We went out with a bang. You know, this is a special group of individuals, special coaching staff, you know, a special crowd, special city, you know, all that. Just can't believe it ended this early.
Jaquan Brisker trying to really summarize the entire season for the Chicago Bears after losing to the Los Angeles Rams 20-17. I am Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. A lot of things going on today. I am leading you into 5 o'clock. This is when Dustin Rhodes takes over. Of course, Mully and Hall come on after that. Got a jam-packed show for you. Olin Krutz jumping on at 7. Brad Biggs at 8. Mike Florio in studio at 9 o'clock. Then Raheem Harrison Grody, 11-1. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Wrapping things up, they got Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a great show all day long today on 670 The Score. And you heard Jaquan Brisker talking about the crowd. Cassie Carlson, my former host on Bears Unleashed, she was at the stadium, and she put up a video of the crowd giving a standing ovation to the Chicago Bears. And that's the one thing I knew was going to happen, and I wish I was a part of. I was at the game last week against the Packers. That was like anything I'd ever experienced. I should tell that story a little bit later. Before we end the hour, I'm going to take these calls that are lined up. Before we end the hour, I'll tell you how far I ran after the DJ Moore touchdown at Soldier Field. I'll give you that whole story after that. But standing ovation, it's the one part that I missed because I knew that was going to be a special moment for the team and the city. It's been a while since, you know, you've heard Caleb talking about it, Kevin Byard, Ben Johnson, that they want the city of Chicago to be proud of this Bears team. And I think the city has been proud of what they've done this year. And so I can imagine a standing O, very similar to like a soccer, you know, season coming to an end, the fans going crazy. It was a good game, man. The defense played well. Jaquan Brisker was lights out. Jalen Johnson, people were wondering where he was at, making his way in and out. But Jalen Johnson talked about, and it was cool to hear him at the locker room, very articulate, very well spoken. And it was cool to hear him talk about not only, you know, the game, but also the locker room and the teammates following this loss. Take a listen to this, and then we'll get to some phone calls.
I know you're always confident. What will your confidence be like, you think, heading into next season, knowing what you guys just did this year? It's got to be, I imagine, higher than it's ever been, maybe.
I mean, it's going to be a new team. It's going to be a new year, new team, new roster. We'll see what it looks like. But, I mean, ultimately, we got to come in hungry, come in confident, and we got to go to work.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like maybe it's just the time that you guys have had between when the game ended and now. Mm-hmm. The locker room doesn't feel very dejected. It almost feels like the way it ended, there's still hope for what you guys are building on. How do you rectify that? Like, what is the feeling, or what was the feeling of how the game ended, but also how guys are feeling about what you can move forward to?
I mean, when you have a season like this, when you have so much fun throughout a season, when you win so many games, I mean, you can't let all that go to waste after one, I'm not going to say one loss, but one season-ending loss. I think you just take time to reflect and decide, man, we've had a hell of a ride. And each man individually has had a hell of a ride. So, I mean, when you just really look back, you can really just be thankful and have a lot of gratitude for what this season has done and how we've grown as men and grown as a team.
Jalen Johnson talking about the locker room. That's what a lot of people are worried about, right? Not worried. That's a terrible word. It's a lot of people are curious about. There's going to be a core group of people that will be here next season. But as Jalen Johnson pointed out, there will be new bodies as well, right? And that's what Ben Johnson talked about in his post-game press conference. It's a special group, and this doesn't happen often. And when you bring in new players, right, because it's like summer camp for those of you that are gone. It's like it's not the same every year, right? You have a special group that happens. And I think with this Bears team, they had a special group. But the hope is that Ryan Poles continues to bring in high character guys. Guys that want to contribute to winning. And hopefully they can build off the successes, man. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I am Gabe Ramirez, live and local, ready to take your calls. Chat with you a little bit about this game. Obviously, Jalen Johnson was hopeful. We are hopeful as fans, but we're still talking about this game and curious if after the loss you feel sad. You're sad about this one? Mad? I've been pissed for the last 30, 40 minutes. But let's see what you think. Let's go to David. David, talk to me about this one. I want to know what you're feeling about this Bears game.
How are you doing, Gabe?
Hanging in there. Good to talk to you again.
Well, I'll have to say one thing. I'm a Packers fan, and I respect the fact that you guys really super defended your stance there. And I can say 1,000 words about why things happened And I think that's what's going on tonight. There's 1,000 words about what happened. And you know what? They're ball players, and they make mistakes. And sometimes they're not in the right position, and sometimes the coaches don't have them in the right position. And I would have to say that we can pinpoint facilities. But I think one thing is in particular with the Bears is that they have so much fight. That's ridiculous. I don't think I've ever witnessed a team that can come back from despair as much as the Bears did all season long. And I think Caleb Williams is a superstar.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, David. And you're right. I agree with you. I think most Bears fans would that Caleb Williams is a superstar, despite some text messages that have been coming in saying otherwise. You know, you talk about, you know, you mentioned, I was saying the mistakes, right? Like they're inevitable. But we've pointed out, you know, what the Rams did really well in this game that allowed them to win. You know, I've been saying it a lot where, you know, when you get to the playoffs, everybody's good. So what's going to be the differentiating factor? What are the variables that are going to be statistically significant? And in this case, it is turnovers and it is penalties. 3 turnovers for the Chicago Bears via the interception. And then when you're looking at penalties for these two teams, the Rams only had 1 penalty for 5 yards. 1. I think there might have been a delay of game, right? Or something like that. I don't even remember. 1 penalty. Bears had 3 for 24. Not to say that the one affected it, obviously, because it allowed for the field goal at the end of the first half. But again, when teams are good and the margins are so small, what is going to be the differentiating factor? When you're looking at, this is a guy who's going to be potentially the MVP of the league. Caleb Williams' stats were identical. 20 for 42 for Matthew Stafford, 23 for 42 for Caleb Williams. 258 yards passing for Matthew Stafford, 257 for Caleb Williams. They both averaged 6.1 yards per attempt. The difference lies in the touchdowns and interceptions. Caleb had 2, where the Rams were able to lean on the run in Kyren Williams. But it was the interceptions. Caleb had 3, right? You're talking about eerily similar numbers from a guy who was an MVP versus a guy who's rising up through the ranks. So again, what are the differences? Kyren Williams, 21 rushes, 87 yards. Oh yeah? Well, I see that and I can't raise you, but I got a DeAndre Swift with 19 carries and 76 yards. Very comparable. You know who was the top receiver on the Rams today or yesterday? Colby Parkinson, 3 catches, 56 yards. You know who the number one receiver on the Bears was? Their tight end, Colston Loveland, 4 catches, 56 yards again. Like, it's just eerily similar. So what is the differentiators? It is the mistakes. It is the interceptions. It is the cleaner game. You're going to be victorious, and that's the things you're going to learn. Against good teams, you have to be that way. And when you talk about the fight, David, the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams combination will always lead to a team that will play 60 full minutes and will never give up. Because Ben Johnson thinks he can call his way to some victories, and Caleb Williams feels like he can execute his way to some victories. And the two of them together will make a defense play harder, because you know what that's like. Bears defenses, we've seen them before, Bears defenses of the 2000s, where they're just like, damn, we might have to win this game ourselves. So when a defense sees an offense putting up numbers and giving you a chance to win, that's when they're going to play a little bit harder. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Let's go out to my guy, Will number 2, out in Forest
Park. What's up, Gabe?
What's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you, my bro. Always. Okay, so let me say this. I did not watch the game.
Fair.
But I will say this. I believe the Bears have their coach, and I believe the Bears have their quarterback for the foreseeable future.
Here, let me ask you this first question, Will, because I want to be your vessel. And what's the number one question you have about this game? Because you didn't see it, right? So I want to be able to talk about it and take you there as if we're boys. And you're like, okay, well, tell me what happened here. Like, give me something that you're curious about when it comes to this game.
Well, I dozed off after I watched a little bit of Peanut and Jim Miller and other guys on NBC, and they listened to Mully and
Manley and Kreutz. Manley and Kreutz.
Yeah. Mully, Manley, and Kreutz on the score. So I'm hearing again. I'm hearing some things I don't like. So take me to what was going on with DJ Moore during the game, because I just was scrolling through my IG account. I saw Lawrence's post, and I'm hearing some chatter about DJ, which says to me that more than likely he may not be here next year, which, once again, I'm going to lose. Well, I'm not going to lose, but I'm going to see another player that I think somehow is run out of town, a la David Montgomery, a la Roquan Smith. You know, that to me, for me personally, as I told you about me and my Bears fandom, there are a lot of guys that still should have been here, but that's neither here nor there. But
all right, well, let me
going on with DJ and the gang.
I love that. Stay on the line for a second, because I do I enjoy talking to you, Will. First of all, DJ, I'm a huge fan, and let's not forget, I think a lot of people are forgetting this when they're talking about DJ and moving on from him. He is a Ryan Poles guy. You know what I'm saying? Ryan Poles went and got him because he was familiar with DJ Moore from his time in Carolina. Also, right, or like people that he knew. So DJ Moore is his guy. Then, not only is he his guy, he gave him the bag, right? Like, he gave him money.
Yes.
Like, so,
yes.
So let's just two things that Ryan Poles is going to want to stick with him for that. Now let's go to that play. Here's something that I want to make very clear, Will, number two, is that the interception with DJ Moore, okay? Here's how I put it to somebody else earlier.
Okay.
The Bears had the ball at the 50-yard line, okay? First and 10 at the 50-yard line, and all they needed to do was kick a field goal to win the game. Think about that, okay? You got the ball at the – I'm telling you, well, hey, check it out. The Bears got the ball at the 50-yard line. They just got to score a field goal. You're probably going to tell me the Bears are about to win the game, right? Am I right or am I wrong? Right there. Of course.
I agree, because I'm hearing there as well. What I'm hearing as well, and like you said, I didn't bring it up because I didn't see the game myself with my own eyes.
No,
I'm hearing a lot of love for Ben Johnson, which I think is deserved, but I'm also hearing this man has to take the field goals when we have them.
Got to. We'll get there in a second, but I want to set you up for this DJ Moore interception, okay? First and 10, 50-yard line, first down, Bears run the ball with Kyle Manunga. They get 2 yards. Now it's second and 8. Second and 8 from the 48-yard line, and you should be feeling comfortable thinking the Bears are easily going to get into field goal range to win this game.
Okay.
Second and eight. I'm painting the picture for you. You're in overtime. All you need is a field goal. Second and 8. Do you think you want Caleb Williams throwing a 25-yard pass right there, or do you want him to just kind of – exactly. You want him to just get you right there into field goal range. Why am I throwing the ball 25 yards? So the way Caleb described it, he said there was a miscommunication between him and DJ Moore. My thing is, DJ Moore is doing the crossing route. He's supposed to cut in front of the safety, right, and flatten his route. These are things you're just 101 with route running and wide receiver. So he's supposed to flatten out his route, cut in front of the safety. But when he's doing it, he kind of curls it a little bit instead of softening it out, and then he's definitely not running full speed. But the fact of the matter is this: why is Caleb throwing a 30-yard bomb on second and 8 from the 48-yard line when we just need 13 more yards to get into field goal range to win the game? You see what I'm saying?
Why wasn't the ball given to one of those two bruisers we have at the running back position, which I think they are bruisers?
Hey, lean, run pass, lean on the run, get you there. You just got to go a little bit more. Now, that's what I'm saying. So I think what happened was there was, I don't know, you got to watch when you watch the game at the end of regulation, you know, or the Rams tried to really score a touchdown and get a walk-off touchdown. They weren't even trying to kick the field goal. Like, on second and 6, third and 6, like, you would think, like, what are you guys doing? Just run the ball, get a field goal, win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, they were trying to embarrass the Bears and get a walk-off touchdown. So it's like, I think the Bears on that second and 8 play were trying to do something similar, where it was, we're going to go for it on third and 4th anyway, so let's just take a shot down the field on second down. But it's like, this is not the time to do that. It's the playoffs in overtime. You stopped the Rams already. All you need is a field goal. Execute the play, operate at a high level, and win this game. And because they didn't, then Caleb Williams ends up throwing the interception. So listen, do we want to talk about DJ Moore not running a perfect route on that play? Sure. I can validate that and tell you, yes, that is true.
Okay.
But can I also, but can you validate me in saying that shouldn't have been the option to begin with in the first place?
I would definitely say that.
Right.
I would definitely say that. Absolutely.
So that's where we're at. Well, that's where the whole thing happened. And then in the beginning, to be very clear about the beginning of the game, when Ben Johnson didn't take the points, I mean, listen, he didn't know that the defense was going to hold the Rams to 20 points, right? This is the number one offense in the league. They average 30 points a game. This is his first drive of the game against the Packers. He only put up three. He wants to get a touchdown, and I think he went for it because he felt like he needed points to win this game. And I think, obviously, hindsight's 20/20, so you can go back and say, oh, but if he would have kicked that, then he – but he might – you know, in his mind, he wasn't going to be in this predicament.
Stafford's always been a dangerous QB, even when he was in Detroit. Stafford has always been dangerous when he has the weapons.
Exactly. So, yeah, frustrating – first, and nonetheless, and that's been my problem today on the show, is that I'm trying to be optimistic about the future of the Bears, right? And really get into that damn.
You have a lot to be optimistic about.
Right, because we do. But at the same time, Will, the Bears just lost the game. So I'm trying to be analytical and talk about what they did wrong while at the same time talking about the future of the team and being hopeful in it, you know?
Okay, well, can I try to give you something to be
Please,
hopeful about?
I love this.
I'm quite sure you already have it. Let's be hopeful about this. And like I say, time will tell when and when I'll come back to my family. But let's be hopeful about this. Look at how bad last season was as compared to this season.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, there were some other changes. Don't get me wrong, because there's always changes from season to season. But the one main change that turned the tide was you went and got someone who wanted to be here, who wanted to work for this organization, who wanted to coach this team. And that effect has been tremendous already. And that other coach, which is funny, I shared a birthday with that other coach. And I will say this, I'm not really happy about that guy. I'm not really happy he was here. But that guy and I, we are both Tauruses. The same day, May 17th. I cannot stand that. I think he's 2 years older than me. I think he's 54. I'm 52. I'll be 53 in May. And just that one big change has turned this season around. It's turned this team around, and they've got even more moxie than they had before, because I believe they had moxie before,
yeah.
But I definitely believe they have it now. So for all the fans out there, for anybody who may say, well, what is with him and his fandom? Look here, I'm Chicago born and raised. Westside, Humboldt Park,
hey.
You know, a few other places. But I'm Chicago born and raised. I just have some issues, and I'm just not ready yet. But I think this city has a lot to be hopeful about with this football team.
As we should.
Currently and for the foreseeable future.
As we should, Will. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you as always. Will number 2 out in Forest Park. And, Will, don't forget, go to Chubby's while you're out there. That's my boy spot. Right there on Madison.
Okay. You know what? I'm always passing up.
Yeah.
I got you.
Chubby's on Madison. My boy Hector, he's one of the owners out there, man. Holla at him. The chicken's there is fire. Make sure you get that. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Well, I appreciate you. 312-644-6767. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Then we're going to get some more of your phone calls out there. Shout out to everybody that's calling in, man. I'm going to get to all of you before I get out of here at 5 o'clock, all right? So on the other side, your thoughts. We got a lot of optimism out there, obviously hopeful for what is to come for the Chicago Bears in the foreseeable future. But I think it's okay, at least I am, to process the feelings of the game that happened last night, all right? The Bears lost a heartbreaker. The Bears were in a position to win and did not. And so we can talk about the good season and, you know, what's to come for the Bears. But I think it's okay to really, you know, be able to look at it critically and talk about what happened this one and this loss. Bears lose 20-17 to the Los Angeles Rams. But your calls are on the other side. I am Gabe Ramirez, ready to talk to you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.